Praise the Lord. All right. Open your Bible to the book of Hebrews, and we'll just enjoy some things about the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word of God that brings life. Without the Word, there's not much life. Jesus said you can't live. You really can't live except by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he kind of started this whole thing where the Word is something special. And you and I need to understand how special the Word is. You could compare it to, you know, the best juicy chicken fried steak you could possibly have with cream gravy all over it. That's kind of delectable. You need to go ahead and feel like that about the Word of God. When you're about to read it or hear it or enjoy the Word, it needs to be that, wow, my spirit's watering over the Word of God. But I wanted to kind of highlight the Word to remind us how powerful and how solid and how uncompromising this Word is. It's the absolute truth to everything. Amen. The Word of God is the absolute foundation for life. It's everything. Hebrews chapter 1 says this, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Notice that term. He upholds all things by the word of His power. You know, we think of the power of God, but you can't think of it as some invisible force. It's the word of His power. It's the word that brings power. They're connected. If you need power, you need word. Hallelujah. Upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Stop there. Notice that term, purged our sins. Keep that in your bank for later, because purged our sins is past tense. Your sins and my sins are purged. Once for all. Hallelujah. Then you can just do a little quick peek at Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is living. It lives. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This word of God is alive and it searches you out. And that's why in church we preach on any topic, and many people feel like that was just for me, because it searched you out. It spoke to your life. It spoke to your heart. The word of God is so alive that it goes through the pews, goes through the chairs, and finds you to tell you something. Interesting, isn't it? Gets right into your spirit. Separates your mind from your heart. That means it separates fantasy from reality. Your mind is full of fantasies. And I'm not talking about sci-fi. I'm talking about wrong thinking, obsessions, worries, stuff that really in 50 years you're going to be like, what in the world was I thinking? We go to heaven and we see what our mind was dealing with. You know, everything gets accounted for. We look at the ticker tape of all the stuff. Hopefully our dumb stuff is erased. I'm sure it is. Hopefully your ticker tape, because here's what happens. When in heaven, all of our sins are washed away, all of our transgressions washed away. And so all you have is a life ticker tape. And hopefully, once all of your stuff is washed away, yours isn't blank. Meaning, hopefully you have some good thoughts that you had allowed to remain in your mind and some good words that you spoke, rather than just, well, He washed all my sins, so my whole life is blank now. So the Word of God separates your fantasy world in your mind about this and that and the other, from reality which is in your spirit, which is eternal. So we have to esteem this Word of God and elevate this Word of God and magnify this Word of God. In the Old Testament it says He magnified His Word even above His own name. Remember that? God magnified His Word above His name. That's a pretty big deal because His name is pretty high. But His Word's higher. Maybe not in technicality, but in essence or in perspective, the Word is magnified above the name of God. I don't care if you mispronounce my name. Just don't mess up what I've said. A lot of people mispronounce my name, misspell my name, always having to spell my name. How many of you always having to spell your name every time you're talking to somebody? I have to spell my name so many times that I don't listen to people's name. Hi, I'm Chaz. And I know that they're going to say, what? And so I'm already saying C-H-A-S. And so I missed what they said. I don't care about that. Just don't mess up conveying a truth that I told. I think that's how God feels. That's magnifying His Word above His name. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. As you know, Jesus is the Word of God. Remember the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His beauty. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and He did form the world and the earth and everything in it. Everything that was created by Him and for Him. Jesus, the Word of God, spoke in the beginning. I know it says God spoke, but what He spoke was Jesus. What He spoke was the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. In Revelation 19, it says that His name is called the Word of God. Behold, a white horse, and Him that sat on it was called Faithful and True. Then it goes on to say that He had eyes of flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a vesture dipped in blood. And He had a name that no man knew except Him that gave it. And then it says, and His name was called the Word of God.
Glory.
He is the Word of God. So when we say, I'm believing God, it means I'm believing His Word.
Amen.
When we say, hey, I'm trusting God, I'm trusting His Word. When we say, I'm standing with God, I'm standing with His Word.
Hallelujah.
When we say, I need God, I need His Word. If you feel like you need God to do or whatever, you're saying, I need His Word.
Amen.
If you need God, if you're in search of God, you're in search of His Word. Simple as that, man, it changes everything. If you say to yourself, I obey God, I obey His Word. I'm hanging on to God. I'm just hanging on to God. What do you mean? You better mean you're hanging on to some Scripture.
Amen.
Tightly.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Notice that one. We'll say something else about that later. Purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Word lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means the Word is eternal. That means it always was, always is. God upholds everything by what He has already said. I said God upholds everything by what He has already said.
Amen.
You don't need to wait for God to do something. He has already said it. It is already upheld. Your future is already upheld by His Word. All you and I have to do is agree. All you and I have to do is receive what He has already said. That's how you can believe that you receive when you pray before you actually get it. You're receiving something already established. Just receive that. Don't try to picture yourself receiving the yacht. Y'all don't need a yacht. That would take you away from church, so you don't need a yacht. You don't even need a motorhome. Because then you would feel obligated to use it on the weekends. Now you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. Turn with me to John 17. John 17. I think we're seeing the picture, right? We're seeing the picture here. Hallelujah. I give honor to His Word. That if there's anything that I've ever done in my life, it's give honor to His Word. When I got in the kingdom, I thought, oh, the Word is holy. It's Him. It's everything. Without it, I can't go anywhere. Without it, I can't do anything. Without it, I can't have anything. Without it, I won't know God. If I know His Word, I know God. How many of you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, you know the Word. How many of you love Jesus? What you're saying, if anybody says, I love Jesus, what they're saying is, I love His Word. And if they don't know His Word, then what they're saying is fantasy. What they're saying is an idea that they're in love with. Some people say, I love Jesus, and when they say that, they're thinking of the picture on their wall. The picture on the wall, which is probably not quite accurate for most. Now some, like I have one that's accurate. My picture on the wall is accurate because it has Jesus smiling and I have two. One he's smiling, one he's laughing. One he's got his, and he's doing like that. That's Jesus. He's smiling and laughing. He's not sad and defeated. And he's not Irish looking or English looking. He's supposed to be Jewish looking. That means he doesn't have a tiny little skinny nose and a tiny little skinny face. He's Jewish looking in the flesh. I mean, now the glory of God just erases the need to worry about what color and all that. But I assure you, he's Jewish. In the flesh. The reason we kind of poke at this is because we don't want to know Him after the flesh. The Bible says, know no man after the flesh. And so trying to get too in love or infatuated with what He might look like, people have changed His appearance. I mean, like, oh, I want Him to look like this, and I want Him to look like that. Stop that. Stop that. What color was His eyes? Who cares? Who cares? Yeah, but I sure like blue eyes. I sure hope He has blue eyes. Shut up. You're trying to get in love with His flesh, and it's leading you astray. You need to get in love with His Word. And here's one way that you can always know the tendency of the carnal human nature. The tendency we all have in some way. And it takes being spiritual to override that normal common way. Is when somebody says, Jesus appeared to so-and-so. Jesus appeared to me. And I saw Jesus in a vision. And the first question out of the hearer's mouths is, what did He look like? Who cares what He looked like? What if He was 5 foot tall? Who cares? What if He had blonde hair? Who cares? What if He didn't look like your ex? Who cares what He looks like? The question is, what did He say? You see how far away some people are? They're trying to just get in infatuated with images and fantasy stuff. Let's get to the point. What did He say is the way we should all be living. What did He say? What's in His Word? That's where His power comes from. And I think that's why God did not describe what Jesus looks like. I think it was very strategic that He left that out of the Bible. He left out Jesus' appearance and Jesus' personality. You don't see anything written about Jesus' personality. Was he funny? What was he? God did it on purpose because he knew how carnal some people are. I know y'all are thinking, certainly that he did describe Jesus' appearance. Yeah, his glorified appearance. The only appearance you see is his glorified appearance. Fire in the eyes, sword out of the mouth, white hair, skin that burns like burnished brass, white robe, crowns on his head. All you get to see in the scriptures is the glorified Jesus, not the human side. Praise God. Come on, we're just trying to honor his word, because the more we can do that, the better chance it has of getting in our heart. The better chance the word has of getting in our heart, the better chance of a miracle in our lives or a life lived with God. Simple as that. With his word in us, we live with him. Without his word in us, we're not really living with him. Hallelujah. John chapter 17, this is Jesus' final prayer before he goes to heaven. And he's allowing his disciples to know it. So he prayed it out loud, or he told them exactly what he prayed, and here it is written, John chapter 17. So he's talking to the Father. And then he says this, verse 14. I have given them your word, talking to God, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So here Jesus is praying to God that God would sanctify us by the truth. Listen, the truth is what sanctifies you. What is sanctify? Sanctify means to clean, to purge, to set apart him that is holy for the service of God. The thing that separates you from your old man is sanctification. Technically, you're already sanctified by receiving Christ. Now you got to get sanctified. There's two types of sanctification. And one is that you have to now learn the truth so you can be sanctified. The new Christian doesn't seem sanctified on the outside. So we can say there's internal sanctification that happens the moment you receive Jesus. But then there's external sanctification that you need to work on. The way a new Christian doesn't talk right, think right, act right. They're still kind of doing the same old habits of the old life. But then they start learning and changing a little bit, right? Eventually changing a lot. So God's perfectly pleased with a brand new Christian who still doesn't know how to stop cussing. God is perfectly just as happy with a brand new Christian who cusses as he is you. But if you've been around the Lord for 2 or 3 years, in the kingdom for 2 or 3 years and still cussing, he ain't too happy. Jesus and God are up there going, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. They're rooting you on so you'll get sanctified in the flesh. They're rooting you on so that you'll work out your salvation. They're rooting you on so that you'll learn some truth, start obeying the truth, and get closer to the Word. Amen. When you start getting closer to the Word, you start remembering scriptures like, don't let any filthy communication come out of your mouth. Amen. Make sense?
Yes.
See, that's sanctification. Now I got scripture in me that helps me. Ooh, is that what that could possibly mean? That I'm going to have to stop cussing? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Let me just read a little bit more if you don't mind. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Notice that past tense, I've also sent them. I've sent them. You've been sent. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they all may be sanctified by the truth. That they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's praying about his disciples of that day. the 12 plus maybe any others that came along. And there was some, you know. But now he's also praying for you. I'm believing because what was written here. I'm believing because somebody told me what was written back then. I count. Jesus prayed for me and you right here. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Did you know that you and I are one with Peter, James, John, and Paul? And with Jesus? And with God? You know, we're all kind of together. We're all kind of stuck together. So if I quote John, really, I mean, it could be me or John talking. It doesn't really matter. It could be me, John, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit talking. We're all one anyway. Come on, go ahead and let yourself get raised up to where you ought to be. Go ahead and get raised up in Christ where you ought to be, so that when you tell people about God, it's like Jesus telling people about God. You're not Jesus, but you're connected and one with Him. In spirit, we are connected. We're not trying to elevate ourselves to some, you know, kingship with over God or anything, but we are called kings of the earth. You got to get okay with that. Verse 22, that the glory, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I want you to notice again, past tense. Go ahead, and if you're making notes, which most of you probably don't, that's probably good. Past tense. There are spiritual truths that are past tense. I dare to say that it's possible that all spiritual truths are past tense. It's already been said, already been recorded, ain't going to change. We're not waiting on eternal life. The Bible says eternal life abides in you.
Amen.
The way, if you start understanding from God's perspective, He sees the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. It is set. And when you start reading Scripture, you see all these past tense blessings that are already yours. That the Bible says you're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Amen. It's already said in past tense. Proven by Greek scholars and Hebrew scholars. Proven that it's past tense. It's a little confusing to the natural mind. We'll take it by faith anyway. Go ahead and just take this by faith, because there's some things, if you'll understand it's already done, it'll help you receive it. We talked about receiving the glory. We talked about that's part of this year, is getting some extra glory here. To receive the glory, you're going to have to go ahead and count it done. But I want to I'll run through a couple of these. First, I wanted you to see this sanctified thing. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Then you find scripture like 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Don't turn there. Says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You're already sanctified. Another scripture says, 1 Corinthians 6 says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those are past tense. You were justified. That means you are. You were sanctified, therefore you are sanctified. Go ahead and start thinking of yourself as justified and sanctified. Justified meaning righteous. Go ahead and start thinking of yourself as righteous, even though you know you got a little work to do. Go ahead and start thinking of yourself as sanctified, even though there's some fruit that ought to bear out later. You're going to have to go ahead and count it done, count it past. To receive this, you're going to have to count it. To receive it, you're going to have to say, yes, I agree with it, that settles it. The word has been spoken, I got it. This is how you change things. You know, if you're sanctified and you're already the light of the world, that's supposed to help you recognize something. You're supposed to then read some scripture that says, okay, do not fear. Let's tag that to another one. The Lord did not give you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. He already gave you the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. You're already mentally set.
Amen.
Love, power. He's already given you the spirit of love and power and a sound mind. That's done. You have a sound mind. Everybody say, I got a sound mind.
I'm sharp.
As a sword. He did not give you the spirit of fear. Say, he didn't give me the spirit of fear. It's a done deal. I have no spirit of fear. Therefore, I don't fear. Okay. See how what's been written is he didn't give you fear. He gave you this other thing. Then how come you've been scared lately? How come some of you have been scared lately? How come some of you have been worried lately? How come some of you have been worried lately when the scripture says over and over again, do not worry. Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about money. Do not worry. How can some of you still be worried? Because you're not acting sanctified. That's how. I said, you're not acting sanctified. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Your word is truth. If you learn the truth, you'll act sanctified. When you're by yourself in the living room with thoughts that could bother you, they're not bothering you. If you're worrying and scared about coming things, you're not sanctified enough. You're not living sanctified. You're going to have to go ahead and reckon yourself not worrying. I reckon that I have a spirit of faith instead of fear. I reckon that I have love, power, and of a sound mind. That's what he gave me. I reckon that I got a spirit that's never afraid and never worried. Then we got commands. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request. We've got scripture, man.
That's right.
So if you're worried, then that means the scripture ain't close enough to you.
Amen.
If you're worried, that means you're not sanctified by the truth enough. That means you heard it in church, but you forgot to take it on Monday.
Amen.
That means you haven't given enough attention to the Word, which is Jesus. You haven't given enough attention to Jesus if you're worried. Stressed out. Listen. We're going to hammer this whole idea that everybody has to be medicated for anxiety stuff and all these other mental things. We're going to hammer this thing. You're going to have to decide that ain't for you. What's my replacement? How about some truth? How am I going to get by? How about some truth? How about getting some sanctification? How about getting closer to the Word of God? Come on. There's no excuse for us. Except laziness.
That's true.
Not giving the attention that Jesus desires. I give attention to Jesus. I sing songs to Him all day long. Have you read His Word at least a little bit in there? Because He is the Word. If the song's got the Word in it, that's another story, but most of them don't. Excuse me, a lot of them don't. I don't know what you're listening to, but a lot of the newer songs have very little scripture in them. So it's made up love songs which don't have scripture, and there's no life in that. It might soothe your soul, but it ain't going to give you life to your spirit. And you got to know the difference.
Amen.
The Word separates the Word can help you recognize when my soul is just feeling pretty good off of a tune versus when my spirit's getting some life from the words of that tune. Because I assure you, your spirit will not get life from the tune itself. But I feel so much better. That's your soul getting soothed or excited to music. There is no life if the Word is not sung or said. You got to know this stuff. You got to recognize where your life's coming from. Jesus said you can't live except by every word.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, we like our soothed soul. Our soul soothed. We do. It's part of life to do some things to help our soul. Music does that. But just recognize the difference between that and Scripture. Hallelujah. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Look, first of all, God has already loved you, period.
Amen.
And God, Jesus said, I want the glory that I have to be given to them. You've already been given the glory of God. So, you know, we're always trying to glorify God and He's trying to glorify us. In a sense. We're not trying to take glory in that way, but you're supposed to think of yourself as having the glory of God. You don't need personal glory. You don't need personal affirmation or acclamation. But we already have the glory of God. It's marvelous. We have the glory of God on us.
Glory.
Go to work tomorrow thinking, I got the glory of God on me. He's with me. His presence is with me. His Spirit's on me. Jesus' prayer worked. He gave me some heavenly substance so that I could be like Him. Glory. So, let's go a couple more examples of being sanctified. If you're sanctified by His truth, you won't steal anymore.
Amen.
The Bible says, stop stealing, but work.
Amen.
With your hands, the thing that's good, that you may have something to give to him that needs. Let him that stole steal no more. Remember that. Then it says, lie not one to another. Stop lying. Stop fabricating. Stop manipulating with your tongue. Stop being deceitful. The Bible says, in Jesus' mouth there was found no guile, no deceit in Jesus' mouth. You better stop the lying. Stop the deceit. Stop the manipulation. Stop the tricks. Stop the unholy talking to people. And then we get to the filthy communication. Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. That means you better stop being so ornery with your people. Sometimes when we get squeezed or we feel offended or hurt, we want to hurt back. You better quit that. I've heard about one too many spouses being harsh toward one another with their word. You better quit that. Why don't you get closer to the Word? Why don't you get sanctified so that you, in times of crisis or argument, you don't have to hurt each other.
Amen.
You quit hurting people with your words. That's ridiculous.
Glory.
You're not sanctified enough if you keep hurting people just because you're in a bad mood or you got your little feelings hurt, your little toes stepped on. They didn't respect you or they didn't do this or that and the other. Therefore, you're going to hurt them. You're going to lash out with the most hurtful statement you can. Look, this is how marriages get destroyed. This is how relationships get destroyed, is when you feel like you have to hurt because you've been hurt. When we talk to marriage couples, we do not allow the word divorce. You don't threaten people with divorce. You don't use the D word in your relationship. And if you have to mention it in the car about how you learned something about the D word, just use the D word. Don't use the other word. Don't put it on the list of possibilities for yourself. Well, that's it. I'm going to pack up. You quit that garbage. You're ruining things because you're not sanctified. A sanctified person is so close to the Word of God that the love of God doesn't have a chance. The love of God does not allow them to step outside the fence. You may come up to the edge and feel like you want to say it, but first of all, if you're sanctified, you won't even get close to the fence. But then there's a safety net that you know that you can't say the final thing. We got a lot of people saying the final thing. They're so defeated. They feel so destroyed or in chaos or overwhelmed. And that's really what happens. People get overwhelmed in life and they're at the bottom of the pit in their own heart. And so they feel like they can lash out and say the harmful thing. Get closer to the Word of God.
Amen.
The world depends on it.
Yes.
Jesus depends on it.
Yes.
Your closest people depend on it. Your church depends on it. God depends on you getting closer to the Word so you're sanctified in the way you treat one another. Once you can treat one another in word, remember the Bible says if anyone does not offend in word, he's a perfect man. That's no joke. I mean, we kind of laugh about it. That's no joke. If y'all will stop offending in word, you'll be perfect. It should be quiet in here. I'm sure it's the second service that needed this, but at least you got it too. Come on, we're counting on you. God's counting on you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want me to move off of that one? If you don't get sanctified by the Word in that area, you'll get madder and madder at yourself. The further you get from God, the madder you get at yourself. This is especially true for Christians. The further you get from listening to your conscience or listening to God's Word in matters of relationship, the further you get away from that, the madder you will get at yourself and the more harmful you'll become. Because when we're mad at ourselves, we take it out on our people. Not us. Second service may have some issues to deal with. Oh, wait, I'm in the second service. Come on, past tense, you're going to have to go ahead and receive things already done. Receive things already done. Go ahead and receive. Here's one you can receive. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and our stupid talking and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has called us already out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You're already taken out of darkness. Now stop going back in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Let's see this one here. This will help you. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about healing and miracle healing and such. The scripture in 1 Peter says that He bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, that's a real strange thought, that I were healed. If I were healed, that means I was healed. That if I was healed, that means I must am be healed. Ye were, I was healed. He bore our sins on the cross. I was healed. Now, some people say, well, that's only spiritual. Okay, well, in that context, it seems like it is talking about spiritual. Fine. But then Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Yet He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. So Isaiah saw this long before it ever happened. He saw the cross long before, and Isaiah said, by His stripes we are healed. The stripes hadn't even happened yet, and he said we're healed. How could he say that? It's because truth is already set. Truth is eternal. The Word is eternal. It's already done. You just need to hop on it. The map is already laid. You just need to journey through it properly. The earth is already created. The world is already created. God's kingdom is already created. You need to just find your way through it. It's already done. You just need to hop on the road. What road? The road to say, I'm already healed. Yeah, but how can you say that that's physical? Isn't it just spiritual? Matthew 8, I'm glad you asked. Matthew 8, verse 14. Now when Jesus came into Peter's house, He saw His wife's mother being lying sick with a fever. So He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served Him. A simple fever, Jesus didn't have any problem fixing. Why? Because He's fulfilling Scripture. Verse 16. When evening came, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with what?
Word.
With a word. How do you get spirits out? With a word. Not with oil all over the windows and smoke and candle lighting and cross crucifixes everywhere. No! How do you get evil spirits out? With a word. Come out! Now! Sister Wanda would not scream like that. She would say it very sweet but firm. Oh, not her. Carolyn. Sweet and firm works too if it comes from your heart.
Amen.
Screaming from the head doesn't work. Screaming from the heart will work. But then again, if you're saying it from the heart, you might as well whisper it. When the evening came, they brought to Him many who were demon possessed. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick.
Amen.
That it might be fulfilled.
Yeah.
which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17 is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53:5, which didn't particularly mention sickness, but this did, proving that it's both spiritual and physical. And we could say and mental. Isaiah 53:5 does talk about mental, talks about our anxieties. Griefs includes anxieties. The Lord took care of everything at the cross. When did the cross happen? 2,000 plus years ago. He took care of it then. He took your infirmities 2,000 years ago. That's a long time. Therefore, if He took them then, why would you have them now? When you accept that truth in reality, in your heart, when you accept that truth in your heart, you'll be healed totally. Set free totally. When you accept that, just receive the past tense truth into your life and you can have the miracle. Amen. The only qualification is that you believe it in your heart. Amen. That you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You got to believe it in your heart. You can't just do it up here. Amen. You can't just have the truth up here in your head. It's got to be in your heart. And if it's in your heart, you can have the miracle. So all of our confession and Bible reading and dancing and praising and shouting and talking, it's designed to get it to go through my thick head into my heart. Yeah. But once it gets in my heart, I got the miracle.
That's right.
Amen. Once it gets in my heart, I know it.
That's right.
Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word and healed them. When? I'm not waiting on God to send His word to heal me.
Amen.
He sent His word and healed me. It's done. Oh, I got it then. I'm taking it. I'm accepting it. It's over. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we closer to the word?
Yes.
We excited about the word?
Yes.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.